Hello. Hey, y'all. What's good? Welcome to Wake Up With Love. I am so glad you chose to start your morning with us today. This is a sacred space cultivated with spirit, heart, and purpose designed to support you in becoming the greatest expression of the massive blessing you came into this world to be. So let's get into it. What is live, beautiful people? Welcome back to Wake Up With Love. Today's episode of Jesus and Me, Conversations with the Professor, John Puno. Are you with us, sir?
I am. Good morning, everybody. Hello, love.
Rise and shine, baby, rise and shine. A little technical difficulty,
right,
but we're on track now. Seamless is coming. So excited for this morning. What do you think about, Professor, about starting us off with a prayer? Get the people getting in the right space for the dialogue, for the heart dialogue.
Awesome, man. Yes. Creator, Father, you are the Father of lights, of all that is good, and we give you praise and glory, and we dedicate this time and this space to you and praise you, and we ask that you would just give us the right words and in order to impact people and lift people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And so it is. Beautiful, and I know today we're diving into the fruits of the Spirit, as we've been touching on some of them with peace and then the last week ending with love. But something I want to share with the people listening, the people that are going to be joining in, the number to call us to have a conversation with John or to ask John a question or, you know, speak on some of the insights that he brings forth, you know, on Saturday mornings, call us at 516-387-1257. And soon we will be 7 days a week, and that will be the number, so save it in your phone. And something on my heart this morning from Spirit to you is our analytics aren't looking for eyeballs. We're not looking for clicks. We're not looking for ears. We're looking for hearts that are courageous enough to get into action around their soul's calling, their incarnate mission. And so rather than like and subscribe, which we'd love for you to do, we'd love for you to tune in, we'd love for you to find value in this, but I would personally love, Batista would love even more for that you take that value and you bring it into your life and you write us back with a way that has impacted you for the positive, how it has brought you closer to Christ, closer to God, closer to your incarnate mission, closer to your walk, closer to your wife or your family member or your husband, closer to your children, you know, closer to something that brings meaning to you and those around you. So that is my invitation and my prayer for all of us. So, all right, with that out of the way, call in if you moved, y'all, 516-387-1257. Where do you want to go, Professor? What's on your heart this morning?
That's a good question.
What do you?
Should we wrap up the last 2 weeks of the metaphor of the cast, and then move into the fruit of the Spirit?
You know, John, that has been unequivocally potent. Realization in my life, you're illuminating your experience with the cast, which is so amazing, right? That you had to break your arm, you had to wear the cast, and here I am receiving bountiful, bountiful, bountiful blessings from that experience.
Yeah.
From you finding meaning in the uncomfortable. How's that sounding, Betsy? Like heaven on earth isn't a utopia. Because there is pain, there is suffering, but it's purposeful. It's all meaningful. Not a single breath wasted, you know? And so it's how we relate to it. And, you know, you've given me, John, it's given me an account to, like, check where am I, you know? Where am I in my own growth? And I've really been able to come to that, like, personally, I'm just got my cast off. I'm growing straight, but I feel really weak. And my heart wants to help everyone, but my capacity to lift anything is just holding myself straight right now, is my total capacity. And then just doing things where I'm right in the pocket of my gift, you know, like this radio, you know? Mm-hmm. There's no strain here. There's nothing but joy and love, being able to speak with you and broadcast love out into the radio waves, you know? But that everything else has to be on pause until I regain my strength around my straightness. And that was such a profound insight. And quickly, another one is that I've been unwilling to ask people to accept the breaking. People have come to the church with the desire for a different reality, but unwilling to break, unwilling to bow, unwilling to be cast, unwilling to do physical therapy. Like, and I've been unwilling to hold the line, and now I know that's an injustice, because without the proper process of knowing where you are and the right measure for the right need, there's not going to be the outcome. And so, I hope that was concise and clear how, like, this is. So if you're moved by it, because you're in it, you're living it right now, you probably got to the next level of healing with the physical therapy, that we, I can't get enough of it. That was my long-winded answer.
Well, like one thing that's on point, man, a thing that stuck out to me is, you know, heaven on earth is not without pain, not without suffering, not without challenges, not without difficulties, you know. There may be that beyond the death portal, but here, when we're on this planet, at least now, we're going to face suffering. There's no question about that. And so I think you also hit the nail on the head. It's how we suffer. It's guaranteed, right? It's, you know, we are going to suffer. It's physical suffering, mental suffering, emotional, losing loved ones. I mean, there's no way to avoid that. So I think we have an irrational kind of desire not to suffer. It's a form of, it's almost a form of insanity, because it's obvious that we are going to suffer. So, you know, how do we change our mindset and embrace the suffering without seeking it? You know, you don't have to seek it. You don't have to look it out. You know, there's people that will take that edge and then go to the other extreme where they actually inflict suffering on others and themselves. You know, obviously we don't want to do that. There's a healthy form, you know, working out, exercising is a form of suffering. So there can be a healthy self-inflicted suffering, but it's not abuse. It's not maiming oneself or doing, you know, there's people out there, you know, cutting is a big thing, right, where people cut themselves.
Yeah.
And you find out that when you get into it, they're cutting themselves because they want to feel something, right? Like they're cut off. they're cut off, so they cut themselves. You know, because they're so desperate to feel something. You know, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about self-inflicting wounds. But there is a, when the suffering comes, how can I embrace it, actually lean into it? One of the things that I learned, for example, with fear, or in this case, with our conversation with suffering, or pain, you know, when they reset my arm, it was very painful. The two options are, you know, kind of run from the pain, pull back, try to escape the pain, or actually lean into the pain, you know, like embrace it. And so that's, and in that case, I was kind of forced to embrace the pain. And that's through breathing. That's, you know, realizing that it's going to pass. It's like a movement, right? You move into it instead of away from it. And so there's that learning too. Like when the suffering starts, whatever form it takes, do I try to run from it and escape it? People jump into drugs, right? Alcohol, whatever, you know, anything to get away from people feeling that pain. Or do I turn around and face the pain courageously? There's the courage, right? The courageous heart is facing the pain, embracing the pain. And then what I learned through through this experience was giving that pain to God, like as an offering, like, Lord, you know, I can't do this on my own. Here you go. I'm going to give it to you. And that was more with the cast, you know, the claustrophobic feeling. That's when I really had to just give that up. You know, like, my body is going to go away. It's not here forever. So I'll just give it to you, Lord. And that's kind of what got me through that. So
wow.
So there's a lot there, but yeah, I mean, suffering is it's a live wire, right? And how do we face and embrace our suffering with courage and honor and nobility, and all those. That was the ethos of the warrior, the samurai. You know, the samurais. I read that they would spend a half an hour a day imagining their own death and all the most extravagant forms that could take as a warrior.
Whoa.
You know, being shot in pieces, being, you know, shot with arrows, being whatever, whatever you can fill in that blank with, they would spend, you know, in active meditation, 30 minutes a day, actively imagining themselves being killed. And you think like, well, that's extreme. But if you really think about it, like, well, death is inevitable. We don't know how we're going to die.
Yeah.
So if I imagine that and put myself, you know, it's almost like role-playing it so that when it does happen, I'm prepared for it.
Yeah, you find peace there. They went there purposefully so that the likelihood
there will
be peace ahead of time. And in that life, yeah, intentionally. I also love with the samurai the aspect of the flower arrangement and the balance, because we've been speaking a little bit offline, but I'd love maybe to touch it now, like the difference in like the warrior and the guardian, because when I think of samurai,
right,
I think of guardians, because they would only fight for honor. They would only fight to defend honor. Like,
that's right.
And they would take their own life if they felt like they dishonored themselves or someone else. So you couldn't pay them. You couldn't hire them. You couldn't get them to kill over hate or anger. You know what I'm saying? Because they just lived so clearly by a code that it kept them from becoming monsters, because they were so well trained at taking life, you know? Much,
absolutely, yeah.
And,
as long as they live by that code, right?
Yeah.
That was the key.
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
Yeah.
That's,
and inside the order, yeah. As long as they live by that code and inside the order, and you know, it almost brings up, you know, the fallen angel. Like to have that much power, that much thing, and then fall out of order. That hold that ethos in flight, you know? Like there's a world that can keep you that razor sharp and safe from yourself and the people you love, you know? But the moment you fall out of order, that's all out the window. Like that's a dynamic shift.
That's good. Since we did get on the topic of death, I just want to bring it back to the scripture.
Yeah.
As Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So it's like it's a completely different relationship with, you know, death as the ultimate form of suffering. That's the connection, right? That's how we got there.
It's
facing our suffering, embracing our suffering. Not running, and we don't embrace death in the form of suicide. Like that's not the option.
Yeah.
But we embrace it in that we the knowledge that I'm going to die, right? And so Paul's saying, man, if I'm alive, I'm going to live for Christ. So that's awesome. And then if I die, well, I'm going to go to the heaven where the suffering is no more. And that's awesome. That's a gain.
Yeah.
So that's even better. So bring it on. You know, and he was martyred. He was, you know, murdered by Nero, assassinated essentially, right? And so he did die for the cause. But you know, for him that was an honor. And if you look, I was just reading, all of the 12 disciples were martyred except for John the Beloved, who wrote Revelation. He was, they tried to boil him in oil, and this is documented, right? This is documented in well respected sources that they attempted to boil him in oil to kill him, and he didn't die. It didn't even like harm him. And so they sent him to an island basically to live by himself in exile. And he's the only one of the 12 disciples that was not martyred, that was not killed for his faith. So being a Christian in the beginning was a very, very volatile thing. And they knew that.
Yeah.
So this was real to them. Like for us, it's like, oh yeah, that sounds good. You know, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. But we're not facing death in our culture. But if you go to other places in the world right now, there certainly are Christians who are being martyred. In fact, they said there's more Christians that have been martyred in the last 100 years than all the previous history, Christian martyrs. So it's much more of a reality now in other parts of the world. Anyway, what's the point? Again, like we have to face our suffering. We have to be able to face that.
Yeah. Have you ever had a near-death experience? Have you ever visited the line?
Oh, yes, I have. I was 19.
Oh, that's right.
And I had been partying all night in Mexico. I just moved to Mexico City. This was in 1998. And I'd been celebrating, partying, doing whatever all night. And some friends and I were driving home in the rain at 3 in the morning and going way too fast. And I was in the back seat, kind of passed out. And to make a long story short, we lost control, spun, you know, at 80 miles per hour, knocked over 3 trees, hit a bridge. And I went head first through a side window. I didn't go out of the car, but my head smashed it, and I ended up, you know, losing all sense of who I was, what was going on, but I was lucid in the sense that, like, I could move and see, but I didn't know anything, right? I lost my name and what a car was, I didn't know what a highway was, saw blood everywhere, and so I step out of the car and just proceed to walk into the left lane of this superhighway in Mexico City, a city of 20 million people, on a curve, you know, in the middle of the night. And, you know, in Mexico City, there's always traffic, even in the nighttime. And somehow, like, no cars came. And then my friends came, and I just remember seeing them running at me with white and pushing me into the grass, you know, basically, like, hurling me out of the left lane of this highway. But, in that experience, you know, it took me about 6 years to go back to it. I had blocked that memory. It took a lot of intense work to find that memory again and relive that experience. But I certainly saw myself, I mean, even one, you know, in a state, a very strange state, you know, of just not knowing anything, but also being connected, like realizing like, oh, man, I'm either dead or I could have died. Or if I would have died, I would have been in a bad place. And having that knowledge, and then also almost seeing in parallel realities myself being obliterated by cars, you know, as I was standing in that left lane. Kind of like, I had to face it. I had to really face my own demise in that situation. And it wouldn't have been a good – what I learned from that is it would have been – It would not have been nice. One thing, the last words that came out of my mouth were, fuck, as I'm spinning. So if I would have died from the impact, that would have been the last thing out of my mouth. And then also, I just wasn't in a good place. You know, how that would have played out, I'm not sure, but certainly felt like, oh, I was in trouble, you know, when I went back and relived that. So it sobered me up. It probably took 6 years. I drowned it the first year after the accident. I put on about 30 pounds. And you know me, man, I'm like 135 pounds soaking wet. You know, I got up, I think, all the way to 170 because I was just drowning my whatever in beer and drinking and just ignoring what had happened. But through the years, I went back and did the work and relived it and realized, like, man, that was a very close brush with death.
Wow. Wake up call.
It was a big wake up call, but it took me time. I mean, I didn't wake up right away, but I did wake up. It just took time.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get that back.
Yeah, I've had a few incidences, and they're both like some of the most peaceful moments of my life. And that's once I surrendered to it, you know? Like when there was a belief, you know, there was a surrender, like, okay, like, and both times it was very silly of me, you know, that was even in the position, you know?
Yes.
But, you know, but and I think that's the heart of it. We went a little bit I feel a heaviness in the conversation today, and because we literally started off talking about pain and the feeling into it. And even as you said, like, I feel like in essence, John, you tell me how you feel about it. When it's extreme, those moments, it's a different relationship, like resetting a bone. Is a really extreme experience of pain. I've had the blessing of seeing my partner give birth to two babies, you know? There's a moment where, like, it's so piercing and extreme and all-encompassing that you must give into it. There is no go, you know? Like,
that's right.
And a lot of us are living in, like, these, like, pseudo-painful moments where it's, like, it's almost numb, you know? It's like a consistent ring instead of, like, impactful. And we were talking about peace the other day. Peace is priceless. Like, it's the knowing, the leading, and even the prayer of Jabez, where you ask God for more territory, knowing you're asking for larger problems, or more intense. You know, like, expand my territory means you want to take on more. Like, please don't just me sit here spinning in my own problems, because it's not a good experience. But let me live in your and others. Let me live being the medicine that you sent me to be. And now all of a sudden the problems become an opportunity for expression, for standing.
That's right.
In the surrender. There's something juicy.
It's the courage, you know. It requires the courage to lean into the suffering and not run from it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the fight or flight mechanism. You know, we're going to take it. It's one or the other. And standing firm and facing it, or freaking out and trying to run from it. But like, I think you put it perfectly. There's certain experiences that you can't run from. I couldn't run from the arm being reset. It had to happen. And so, and those, you know, I think what often happens is we want to numb that pain by taking the drugs, by getting drunk, you know, the alcohol, or by looking for diversions of some sort that don't resolve the underlying issue that's causing the pain. I mean, our entire modern, not our entire, but a big portion of our modern system of medicine is dulling and dumbing down the pain, which is making the underlying cause even worse. But this is what we do. And it's like, wait a minute, that's not medicine. That's not healing. That's not helping. That's horrible, right? That's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
Is to try to dumb down the pain, because that pain is telling you something, right? That's your body communicating to you that there's something wrong. So I'm going to take something that eliminates that signal so that I stop suffering. What is happening to the underlying cause of that pain then? Of course it's getting worse. And it's also manifesting, there's side effects, right? Like, look at the long list of side effects. So not only is it dumbing down the pain of the cause and not resolving the cause, it's causing new problems and new issues. This is
new
the
harm.
Case in it.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
so
you know, I've battled, it's definitely, no, but I mean, it's, for me personally, it's way more than a metaphor, and it might be for a lot of people listening, you know, like the numbing, for a long time for me felt like the best, you know, like I was in the trap of yep. alcohol, you know, and
absolutely,
and feeling the little relief felt like a solution, you know, and also it leads us back to what we were talking about last week, like the solution, the best solution out there was AA, and I was unwilling to put on a cast for life. Like I was unwilling to assume an identity, a powerlessness, because I know that I'm all powerful in Christ. I know that Christ in me, the call to glory, you know, that the enemy. Someone told me the most amazing thing yesterday. They gave me the words between the enemy and the enemy. And the correlation in the sounds of that. And they send their name, and I wanna give them. His name is Roulet, Brother Roulet, beautiful didgeridoo, a player and makes sound with his wife and their baby, Sola, the beautiful couple here in Asheville, the mountains of Asheville right now. And he brought it, but I got out of him them saying that to me, that the enemy masquerading as the enemy is creating my reality.
Ooh, the enemy masquerading as an enemy is creating my reality.
Exactly.
That's good.
And when that was happening, alcohol seemed like the best solution, because the enemy was masquerading as my enemy, and it was determining what the healing was, and that was out. You know what I'm saying? Further ensnaring me into whatever it was, and so there was never liberation on the plate. You know, until I was able to identify that something other than Christ was in the throat, you know, guiding me to my purpose, my incarnate mission and my reason, and to the pain. And like you said, what the pain was pointing to, where I needed to go to find the, you know, to reclaim. Like,
and that's the point of the suffering,
ultimate,
right?
Like, that was the purpose. And I was so amazed, John, and tell me if you share this. In hindsight, when I've learned from my suffering, there's never been any suffering that I regret once I get the healing that the suffering
100%.
Was pointing to. I have, I'm like, I'll take it on. So my job now is, God, grant me the wisdom to deal with the suffering you're putting me through now with
that
knowledge, you
courage.
Know? One day I will look back at this and say, thank you for not letting me sit in that any longer, you know? Like, thank you for not letting me fall asleep. Thank you for keeping it.
That's wisdom. That's the wisdom, right? Mm. Knowing that this is for a purpose, so I can embrace it and not run from it, because it's helping me. It's not hurting me. Helping, even though it hurts, there's the irony, right? It hurts, but it's not hurting me.
Yeah.
That's deep, dude.
Ooh.
Very
so
good.
So how does someone take this? How does someone take this, like, message? Because we went to, like, martyrdom. We've really spoken tense things. And I know a lot of people listening right now, just the state of the world, it feels like a raw nerve, you know? And there's few places that people can go that they're really going to be held, you know? That they're not going to be given something more, you know? But they're actually going to be giving insight to the medicine, and I believe that's what you are. So what do you have for people that just took this journey with us? What do they take and bring it? Like, what do they practice for this week or pray for this week about pain and leading in? Or like, is there something practical you can give us?
Well, I have a surprise guest that I want to ask.
Okay.
His impact, because he's listening. He's a very good friend of mine, Lucas Asbury.
Okay.
Met him in Mexico when he was 5 years old, when I was living off the grid there. So he's been listening to this whole conversation. So maybe, Lucas, if you could share maybe a takeaway and something practical that you got out of this for our friends and family.
Our first guest on Wake Up in Love.
That's right, bro.
Welcome, Lucas.
Thank you.
There's three.
Thank you.
And now there's three.
That's a very welcome. It's my pleasure to share my thoughts.
The three, that's right.
The one thing I captured and really struck me as John was talking, when he said we got to bring heaven to earth and suffering is going to be on earth, like that's not an option. It's there, and we got to embrace it in our own way. And this reminds me of something I wrote a couple years back when I was just studying, doing a little bit of Bible study and just thinking. I wrote something really simple that makes sense for me. Might not make sense for everyone, but it was basically talking about suffering, you know, because we got to bring heaven to earth. And like, if you think about what do we need here on earth that like we need to survive, like the one thing that we need the most is water, right? And we just drink water all the time, like, oh, it's water. We don't really take the value of water. You don't really enjoy it necessarily when you drink it. But if you encounter a hot day and you've been out working and you don't have water and you get so thirsty, like that's suffering. And then you drink that water, and that water going through your mouth and through your body, it's like soothing, and it's like heaven going through your body. And so that's kind of my way to capture this.
Woo!
Mm.
Mic drop.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's wow. So taking something we do often, but raising it up, like making it sacred again, like being profoundly in tune with the fact that we have water, and actually slow down and experience it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct.
Lucas, as a practice?
Correct. That's the practice. And also that indeed we're going to encounter suffering, and it's kind of needed in this world that we live in. So we got to like embrace it in that way, that for everything that happens, there's something good that can come along with it.
Yes.
Like if something's rotting, well, that's going to be good compost for the trees to grow and produce great fruit, you know?
Beautiful.
We can always get good out of things.
Yeah,
beautiful.
And that's what we were saying. Yeah. And it's always good in reflection. We always find, so yeah, man, that'd be an amazing thing. That really lands. And I think that's the prayer. I think the practice, how does this sound to you, John? The practice is water this week. Like, keep it in the forefront. And less, like you said, like, people are experiencing certain things around the world. Here, luckily, and now luckily or whatever it is, just our reality has access to water. And that's a gift. And so to just be in the gift of that, and that connected point. And that water is memory, which is another thing Frozen reminded us of. It's been all over the world. Like,
that's it.
Do you believe in, like, what's your thoughts on that, John, the professor? Like, the fact that water, they say water has been in everything several times around. Like, it's been through animals, through trees, through clouds, through water, through bodies.
Well, I think it's miraculous.
It
I mean, like, if you go to the four elements are just absolutely miraculous. There's no, you know, air, fire, you know, earth. What is it? Water. What is it? Air. You know, these. It's just they all need to be present for our reality to exist. Right, and they're everywhere. I mean, fire can exist anywhere, anywhere where there's that feel, where there's that ignition. You know, it's just, where does it come from, right? It's incredible. Water is, you know, the base. Without it, was what? So that, whatever, 70% water. The earth is 70% water. The carbon in our bodies, the earth form part of us. You know, I think they're all miraculous. We can't understand them. You know, we can. And how it works, we can describe it to a certain degree. You know, we can have the knowledge that the water circulates everywhere, but man, to truly grasp it, it's a it's a miracle and it's a mystery and it's just incredible. So yeah, it's all part of the design. It's beyond our ability to rationalize. And it's beautiful. So it's a great exercise. I think Luca's brought it and a great way to finish this heavy conversation today, because we never know which way it's going to go. Again, we're not going to run away from the heavy topics, right?
No.
But it's not always going to be that way. When it happens, we embrace it. And what a great way to finish this off, that we're gonna focus on being thankful, enjoying, you know, feeling the water, tasting it, allowing it to flow through our body, you know, whatever, jumping in it in some cases, if you have that opportunity. Obviously, we're showering, we're bathing. I mean, enter into relationship with it. It's incredible.
So it is. All right. I think we did it, brothers. I think we did it. How do you feel? Do you feel complete?
I feel complete.
All right. I feel complete as well. I feel, you know, final words, and then maybe, John, you could pray us out, is my deep prayer. As I said in the beginning, we're not here for the eyeballs. Love, I can only speak for myself. You can stamp this for you, as John, if you feel aligned with it. But for me, love, I'm not trying to get likes. I'm not trying to get numbers. I'm not trying to get views. We're here to have heart-to-heart conversation. We're speaking Christ in me today. With the professor and John Puno, and our desire is courageous heart. And so I pray that with the water, we also look into the suffering this week. Maybe we can stand a little more in the fire and remember that we were made for this, that we were born for this, and that the fire is teacher, it's a crucible, and it's going to turn something beautiful out of it. You know, you go in as raw metal and you come out as an instrument. Maybe I would like to invite no maybes for anyone willing that you went through the hardness, the heaviness of this conversation. I pray you come out stronger on the other end with something to show if you spend a little more time in the heavy parts of your life this week and allow yourself to be with them and see what they're teaching you and what they're leaning you into and what they're revealing or inviting you to express. Because like we've said, and you probably know it as well, in hindsight, when you receive the liberation from the struggle, there's always gratitude. And so I pray you find gratitude deeper in whatever your current struggle is, knowing that it's turning you into a better, more empowered version of yourself, more capable of your incarnate mission. How's that feel?
I think you just said the prayer, dude.
Okay.
That was it.
Beautiful.
I think that was it.
That's what it is.
Those are the words,
man. Thanks for bringing your wisdom, man. Thanks for bringing your willingness to just walk through and just see where we're led. And I think we have another beautiful one on the books here. And I know we have another beautiful one on the books. Lucas, thank you for making it three today, for bringing this. The whole dream of this network is that it had to have a call-in feature. It had to have a line out there for people in the world to come in and join and bring revelation and bring experience and bring questions to John. And I want to do a bigger, better job of kind of centering John on these Saturday conversations because I always receive so much. So, but so much love to everyone listening. Thank you. And have a beautiful week, y'all. Until next time.
Yes.
Be blessed.
Till next time.
All right, beautiful people. Thank you for listening. If you were moved by what you heard today, you know what to do. Like it, share it, spread the love around. Until next time.